Let's pray. Father, everything that comes out of my mouth this morning is from the Holy Spirit. If it's not, let it fall to the ground as trash. The transitional nature of the words that you've given us in the book of Romans, the transformational power that those words have, let us don't take them lightly, just as another scripture to put on the refrigerator. These are things to bury into our hearts so that we look at ourselves as a living sacrifice today, tomorrow, until the day you return or to the day you bring me home. May you be glorified in the telling of these words. Amen. Always a good reminder, I guess, as a pastor, as a second career, that I can realize that I don't have to get it right all the time and that I can be imperfect. And I know you love me for it. I really did. I really did have a morning this morning that changed me from being about myself to glorifying God with my words. I want you to know that's what I do every Sunday. I don't do this so you say, oh, he's a good speaker. I want you to say, oh, I'm glad that he transferred that information with his voice to my ears, to my heart. And that's what I want to have happen. I also need your help. I was thinking about patterns this week, and that's the series we're in. We're in the third week of patterns, and this is about resisting. But as I was thinking about habits or patterns, a story popped up on my web scrolling, whatever you want to call that, about Brittany Mahomes. That's the wife of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe some of you saw it. I guess my question to you is, and this is aside, you ever notice? Now, I know Google, if you are looking for a, let's say, an aquarium filter, you're going to find aquarium filters in your feed for the next 10 years. You don't want to have to buy it. It's going to say, I think he wants to buy it. I don't have an aquarium, but that's just the only thing that popped in my head. But you know that's true. But I want to know, when something like this series comes along, and Sue Sullivan's related this to me before, she comes running in with Our Daily Bread that says, this is what you just said. You know, this sermon was planned months ago, and this thing that was written in this little magazine was written months ago, and they coincide. I think it's a God incidence, not a coincidence, but I also think, why does that happen? Is it our aware? I think our brain gets triggered to say, oh, there's a story about falling into a pattern. Okay, there you go. That was really for me and not for you. Anyhow, Patrick and Brittany have this 21-month-old son named Bronze. Don't be judgy. I don't know why it's Bronze, but it is. She said that she and Patrick and their two children were traveling in Europe earlier in the month of July, and they accidentally let their son Bronze get into a bad habit. They started letting him watch a show while they ate dinner, just to keep him chill. And so he wouldn't throw tantrums over eating certain foods. To their surprise, they found that Bronze would literally eat everything and remain in total silence while watching a show during dinner. It seemed too good to be true. But now they're back home, and he will not eat one bite unless a show is put on TV or his iPad. Brittany was reaching out to Mons for advice. How do we change this accidental bad habit? And she got all kinds of responses. And she realized she wasn't alone. She got a lot of love. One said, do what you need to do to stay sane. Pick your battles. You know, next one, try going cold turkey. Next one, change the entertainment. Buy some new toy trucks to play with while eating. Okay, but Patrick, so I didn't say it was good advice. I said she got a lot of advice. But Patrick Mahomes may be one of the best quarterbacks of all times. That could be arguable, but he's very entertaining, certainly. You know, and I think of that behind-the-back pass to Kelce in preseason was brilliant. But let's just admit, one of the most talented athletes in the world has a kid with a bad habit. Patterns and habits are something we all have or we do routinely. Not all patterns or habits are destructive. Some are just neutral, right? For instance, a study was done of Americans a few years ago, and it was discovered that 96... I love these things because this is, when I say they're non-controversial, it's brought more controversy within the sanctuary than anything we ever brought up. We brought up the toilet paper, which way does it go? And that will not leave this conversation. We still talked about it last Wednesday. But 96% of Americans believe that the peanut butter must go on the bread before the jelly. Yeah, of course. Only 4% put their jelly on first. It's a habit. Are there any of those today within our presence in the 4%? See, I didn't know it was a thing. But why isn't it a thing? What is a peanut butter? Okay, wait a minute. In the same way, the study of American habits, it was discovered that 50% fill up their gas tanks when it gets down to half full. Who does that? You wait to half point. Yeah, I do too. Another 25% wait till it gets to a quarter. Then about 25% wait till the light comes on. Yeah, there you go. Kendall shot her arm up so fast. You then push it 10 or 15 more miles, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So putting on peanut butter or filling your gas tank, those are natural things compared to the destructive habits that we battle against in our lives. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you would say, I have at least one destructive habit that I like to break? I'm not going to have you raise your hand because I'm guessing I would have everybody raise their hands, right? I have a close friend who has plenty of money and has gotten into the habit of the pattern of ordering something from Amazon every single day. It's become a problem. Her husband told me quietly that she sometimes cries if the Amazon truck doesn't stop. That's a joke. That's not. But no one ever plans to get addicted to painkillers or alcohol, right? No one does. No one deliberately ruins their marriage with a pornography habit. But no one intends to overeat and hurt their health, but it's hard to say no to good food or some foods. It takes discipline. Maybe you found yourself getting stuck in some other kinds of bad patterns like criticizing or gossiping or not taking advice from a good friend or getting defensive when you get that advice. You haven't even realized it, but now it's a pattern. The brain's so fascinating. When you try something new, you move cautiously. You think about it. You either have a negative reaction or experience or a reward. If you do something over and over, your brain actually becomes hardwired in this new pattern. We're going to see a fascinating study of that next week. I encourage you to be here next week for that. Grooves form in the brain. That's a technical scientific term. Grooves form in your brain. And habits get hardwired into these grooves. This works for good habits as well as for bad habits. For instance, when you first get your driver's license, you get in the car, check to see your foot on the brake, push the button, check all the mirrors, fasten your seatbelt, worry about hitting the side of the garage, and back out slowly. It's not yet a routine, but the reward is that you don't have to walk. But the longer you drive, you jump in the car, don't even think about the ignition button, you never check the mirrors, you back out of the garage at 35 miles an hour, you fasten your seatbelt halfway to the mirror as you're checking your phone. It's become routine. In this series we have been studying the first few verses of the first two verses of the book of Romans, chapter 12. Look at what the author Paul says about breaking a destructive habit. And I'm glad that Michael shared both verses with us from a different translation this morning. I would encourage you to do the same. And on that note, thanks to Richard Crispin for putting pens in each of these slots. We're going to slowly fill these things up with materials. Bibles, there's a thought. We're going to get some Bibles in there. And right now we don't have enough to do that. But I want to get also some note paper for you to write down the Romans 12, 1 through 2 from memory. But not today. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can be tempted to pretty easily to conform to the patterns of the world. In a devotion this morning, I read something related to this, where it said that when you take religion and place it into culture, culture has the advantage. Culture often wins. Meaning, we can't be conformed to the pattern of this world. We have lives that are secular and sacred in our same bodies, so we need to live that way, but we can't let the patterns of the world upset that one half of our being. It's probably one of the most confusing things I've ever said. But when I was growing up, there was a show called Candid Camera. Anybody remember that one? Oh yeah, that was good. Alan Funt. I remember Alan Funt. The show hid secret cameras and tried to catch people doing something funny. In one episode called Face the Rear, and I've done this with my sisters and it bugs them, but so I think I got it from this. Face the Rear, it was called. They hid a camera in an elevator. An innocent victim gets on and faces front as normal. That's the pattern we are taught. Three more actors get in from different floors. They all face the rear. Finally, a fourth actor gets on and faces rear. Without exception, and they repeated this several times, what did each victim do? They slowly turned and faced the rear. Whoa, that's a harmless example, but it is so easy to follow the patterns of the world. What? We learn from our friends and our colleagues, or social media, or the attitudes or behaviors of family members. Paul is saying, God wants you to be transformed into a new person. And it starts in the way you think. And we're really going to dive into that next week, too. The way you think. Destructive patterns always start with a thought. And if it's going to be a destructive pattern, it always turns into a temptation. Temptation is all about choices. They often occur in your private life when no one else is around. Right? Remember, it doesn't say that you won't be tempted. It said God will give you the strength that when you are tempted, you'll be able to use him as your ally. So you're always going to be tempted. Always. When you leave this building, you see my sexy Toyota Sienna out there, and you say, "Oh, I wish I had that." But that's how temptation works. That's how envy works. In the spring, this is how it worked with King David. In the spring of the year, when kings go out to war, David stayed home. Let me remind you, David is a king. So let me read that again. In the spring of the year, when kings go out to war, David stayed home. And one night in his balcony, he saw a woman taking a bath, and he had to have her. Sexual temptation is so strong. MLive carries a columnist who gives advice to readers who ask questions. Not long ago, a man wrote in, remember the Ann Landers? So it's Ask Ann. I don't know if she's still alive, but Ask Ann is the column, okay? And a man wrote into the column. He said, "Dear Ann, I'm happily married, but I have another woman. I love them both. What should I do?" Signed, confused. "P.S. Don't give me a lecture on morality." Ann wrote back, "Dear confused, the only thing that separates the animal world from the human world is morality. I suggest that you consult your local veterinarian." Signed, Anne. So rationalization didn't work for David. Rationalization won't work for you or me. There are two ways to deal with habits that you know you need to be free from. Jesus did both of these things effectively, and you can too. First, you resist a destructive pattern. Just like King David, Jesus was hit hard with temptation. Hard, but he had a different outcome. When he was alone, in the early part of his ministry, the devil came to him. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Just like David, Satan comes to Jesus when he was alone. Mary's not there. No disciples hanging around. No one. He's alone. How many of our destructive habits begin or gain momentum when we are alone? No one's around. No one knows. I've kept it a secret. No one's holding me accountable. This time the end is different. David ruined many people's lives by giving into temptation. You know that story. It's horrible. But the son of David, as Jesus was called, reacted differently. He resisted, all caps. He fought back. He flexed his self-control muscle, and he prayed for strength. And you can do that too. He also used Scripture, by the way. Exclusively used Scripture to answer Satan every single time. I think that's fairly significant, don't you? Now, the more you resist and the more you fight back, the stronger you're going to become. I promise you that. Jesus proved that temptation does not have to end in a bad habit. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. As I said before, when you are tempted, it doesn't say if you are tempted, when you are tempted, He is going to show you a way out so that you can endure. And you can go through some of those bad habits in your mind of what fill in the blank and think, what's an alternative to how do I resist that with an alternative? So remember, breaking, but it starts here. Breaking a pattern starts in the mind. Are you aware of the triggers that go off in your mind that lead you to doing a bad habit again? Most destructive habits have a trigger. A trigger is an emotion or an environment that sends your brain toward a reward. Triggers can be places, times, moods, moments, or people. Be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it can lead to a destructive behavior that becomes a pattern. Being around the wrong people can lead you into doing things that you might not have done on your own. In fact, studies show that we often take on the patterns of those we hang with the most. So good people can help us build good habits into our lives. For some of you, your trigger might be stress. When you get stressed, you try to get a hold of it, get control of it by launching into a routine that might be your destructive habit. For some of you, it might be boredom. And for some of you, the trigger is loneliness. In the 1990s, the Croatians and the Serbs went to war in Yugoslavia. That seems like a billion years ago, but it seems like yesterday, right? In a very short time, both sides planted landmines to hurt the enemies. They planted around 90,000 mines with no map as to where they were. The war was settled in a matter of months, but the landmines remain. To date, 2,500 people have been killed by one of those mines. What are the triggers or landmines for you? For some of you, it might be the break room where you're tempted to talk about other people or upper management. Been there, done that. For some of you, it might be business travel away from home. For some of you, it might be a group of friends. When you get around them, you do things you might not regularly do. It's funny, I could see that in my kids as I reflect on their lives. But then I think, what makes you so special? You're 68 years old and you still have that. You hang with the people that encourage a bad behavior, you're going to continue the bad behavior. If you feed the trigger, you're going to feed the habit. If you starve the trigger, you're going to starve the habit. Resisting is hard. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power over the pattern. The second thing you must do is start a new practice. Charles Duhigg, in his book on habits, says that a destructive habit is hard to break, but it can be replaced. Huh? I like what Paul said about this in the book of Ephesians. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. How you get rid of it, or that's getting rid of it. The second part is, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See the connection to the brain again? You got to put off your old self and develop new practices. We are made up of the habits that make up our daily lives. A successful life is built on successful habits that we do over and over and over again. I was just reading a story about a man who moved to a new city. He wanted to do some volunteer work and some kind of ministry. He visited a nearby assisted living center in his new neighborhood, and he learned that they had little spiritual attention. He volunteered to lead some hymn singing and maybe do a short devotional every week. A lot of residents in the facilities are angry at their families. They're angry at God, and they're angry at anyone because they don't want to be there. Or they've had to give up in their homes. People were yelling at the staff, complaining about the food, not happy with their roommate. One woman had a habit of stepping on a scale every day. If she was up a pound, she got angry. If she was down a pound, she was mellow. She was on a roller coaster of emotions all over the scale. Her habit kept her in a bad mood most of the time. But another woman was very gentle. When the visiting pastor finished the brief church service, she said, "Would you mind walking with me to my room? I've lost my eyesight." The pastor was happy to do it. He noticed right away that this woman was not the same as most of the others. When they got to her room, she said, "Would you mind reading the Bible to me for a few minutes before you leave?" The pastor said, "Sure." But he noticed that as he read some familiar passages, she was saying them quietly to herself. "You seem to know a lot about the Bible," he says. "Well, about 40 years ago, I started writing down one verse a week on a note card and trying to memorize it as I went about my daily chores and my daily routines. One verse a week for 40 years is a lot of verses." She had hidden God's word in her heart. Two women, two routines. One led to what? Emotional anger, and the other led to a gentle, peaceful life. Here's a question for you. Some of you need to be set free from a destructive habit or pattern in your life. Maybe when you're hit with a major blow, you turn to Jack Daniels before you turn to Jesus Christ. Our Catholic friends call it, and I'm not sure this is just Catholic, but as I learned this practice from a Benedictine, well, St. Benedict, so he was Catholic. Okay, sorry, anyhow. But it's called the rule of life, and I'm not going to go into it today. I'd like to actually preach a series or at least a sermon on it sometime. A rule of life is nothing more than starting new patterns or practices that begin to replace the destructive ones. It's basically like putting your daily what do you do for your faith life, your financial life, your family life, and what are the daily, monthly, weekly, monthly, yearly things that you can do to feed those good practices? That's the rule of life. It's like if you have a garden and you have a climbing plant. Do you just let it sit in the ground? No, you give it a trellis. You give it a trellis to flourish and grow, and that's what a rule of life is. So Jesus practiced these rules of life because his humanity needed to keep them near his Father, and one of them is reading the Bible. If you set aside a specific time to read the Bible each day, or listen to it, we've got the advantage of listening to any translation in the world through your smartphone or your computer. We are so unable to make excuses for not getting the Word of God in our heads. Sometimes I listen to my devotion in the Bible verse, and then I go back and read it, and I find it solidifies in there a little bit better, turns out, because we all learn differently. What if you tried that woman's practice of writing down a verse a week and memorizing it? Or do a verse a month. But make it a routine. Make it a practice. And the other man I know said that his life was literally transformed by listening to the Bible in his car, in his commute, to work and back every day. It was his rule of life, his new rule of life, instead of sports radio or news radio. He listened to Scripture and it changed him. Another good habit you could do is Sabbath. We don't talk about it a lot as Western Christians, but I think we need to remind ourselves. Jesus practiced it. He set aside a day to rest, to reflect, to renew. You have to build this into your schedule. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm guessing part of it is a new rule of life is going to mean that you have to say no to some things. Tiredness is inevitable for most of us, but so many of us operate on a dangerous level of tired. So much so we can't sense God's presence or hear his voice. Do you need this new pattern? Let me also say this about Sabbath. It's a commandment. Just reminding you, this isn't just a good idea that Saint Benedict came up with. It's a commandment. And also, the creator of the universe did it. That's all I have to do is say those two things. That's pretty good evidence that Sabbath probably is something we should explore. Okay, thank you. Jesus didn't retreat to quiet places because he was an introvert. He went there to pray. Prayer is more than asking God for things. It's talking to God. It's talking with God. It's being with God. It's listening to God. Do you have a pattern of prayer? There are several other patterns that make up a rule of life, like fasting and community and generosity and solitude and service and witness. Sometimes these are called spiritual practices. I'll illustrate the importance for some of those spiritual practices by another sports metaphor. Oh, thanks, Steve. That's what I wanted to talk about today. But Steph Curry started a new practice years ago. Here was his new practice. He shot 500 shots every day. That tallied up to 3,500 shots per week. That tallied up to 168,000 per year. And 2.52 million shots over the past 15 years. One time he hit 105 three-pointers in a row. He's got physical abilities. He will go down as one of, if not the best shooter of all time. But where did it start? It started with a habit. Routines never seem to make much difference in the short run. One verse a week, 20 minutes in the gym. In the moment, practice or habit seems too small. Well, that's just not enough. But in the big picture, a healthy habit can lead to life instead of death. Is there a stronghold that has a grip on you right now? Is there some destructive pattern you need to resist and break today? Temptation seems so overwhelming at times. You may need treatment. You may need therapy. But you certainly need God. Self-control is essential, but you can't do it alone. Isn't that sound like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Self-control is crucial, but you can't do it alone. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... I'm going to say it again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's right. Yell it out. Be proud of that. That's not being alone. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, I have freedom. I have freedom to make bad choices and good choices. Establish destructive habits and patterns, or establish life-giving patterns. Let's pray. Lord, we need to each ask ourselves, what practice do we need to eliminate and what practice do we need to replace it with? Sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to have to be so incremental that we see that it's really not working. But we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You've made me, by saving me, free. Free to establish life-giving patterns. Life-giving patterns that come only from you. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you so much for being our strength in times of trouble and times of need. Let us leave this place with praise and worship on our lips, serving the one true Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.